Justice Castle has rejoined the court. Mr. Schroeder, good morning to you. You may approach.
I may have pleased the court. So my name is Kent Schroeder, and I reside and practice law in Kearney, Nebraska. And in this particular case, I represent the plaintiff, Dale Kopel, who is also the appellate today. Really, there's been a single issue in this case. Mr. Kopel went to work for the Nebraska Department of Roads on April 1 of 1986, and on June 11th of 2004, he married the defendant. It was the second marriage for Mr. Kopel, as well as the second marriage for his second wife. Mr. Kopel had a balance in his retirement account when he was married on June 11th of 2004 of approximately $70,000. That, pursuant to a Nebraska statute, I think it's 81-414, subparagraph 17, provides for a statutory rate of return at a minimum of 5% or 1.5% added to the midterm rate published by the Internal Revenue Service.
Counsel, is this ultimately a defined contribution plan or a defined benefit plan?
It is a cash balance plan, which is a defined benefit plan that defines the benefit in terms that are more characteristic of a defined contribution plan. In other words, a cash balance plan defines the promised benefit in terms of a stated account balance, and this is known as a 401A. These are generally retirement plans found in the world of education as well as governmental entities. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
So, the plaintiff employed the services of Dr. Rosenbaum, who, pursuant to the statutory rate of return, calculated that...
Excuse me, what return was used?
Pardon?
What return was used, the 5%?
If you look at it, it was not 5% all the way. It averaged, as I recall, somewhere between 5% to 6.46%.
But anyway, according to the statute.
Right. Dr. Rosenbaum made 37 separate calculations. Okay. And as a result of those calculations, it was our position that this non-marital or premarital asset accumulated by virtue of non-marital forces and none other than the statutory rate of return itself. And therefore, the court should have given Mr. Kopel a credit of $120,011.
Was this plan dependent upon his continued employment, or if he stopped working as of the date of marriage, would this plan still increase in value at the...
Judge Wright, I'm sorry, I just flat didn't hear your question.
Was this plan dependent upon his continued employment with the state?
No.
So if he retired at the date of marriage...
If he retired on the date of his marriage or took a separate job on the date of his marriage,
he would still
that would have been the balance of their accumulating statutory rate of return.
Yeah.
That's precisely our point.
Your point being that it doesn't take any effort other than a continuing contribution if you remain employed?
Exactly. Exactly. We're not arguing about it. Any contribution made from June 11th of 2004 until December 31st of 2012, which was the court's assigned date of valuation, any contribution made during that period of time in terms of the capital contribution as well as the interest earned by virtue of the statute, that's a marital asset. You know, the court could have used the coverture fracture approach. The court actually cited the Kozol case, which is a coverture fractional approach. And in that particular instance, the balance to be awarded pursuant to the calculation with the coverture fracture would have been 32% of $219,830 or $70,346. And if you were to take the judge's spreadsheet approach to the division of property and the allocation of debts and insert the coverture fraction approach, she would have received $37,100. Our argument at the time of the trial was that she should have received only half of the balance subtracting the $120,000, or approximately $51,000 or $52,000. So I think what we've arrived at, if I can put this in the easiest context, and that is, under Nebraska Revised Statute 42-366, subsection 8, a pension is part of the marital estate. In Reichert v. Reichert, the Nebraska Supreme Court, this court interpreted this statute and adopted the rule, the marital estate includes only that portion of the pension which is earned during the marriage. In Shockley v. Shockley, this court stated that contributions to pensions before marriage or after dissolution are not assets of the marital estate. So if we take section 42-365, which is the equitable division of property, and look at the three-step process, the first step is to classify the property, party's property as marital or non-marital, setting aside the non-marital property to the party who brought that property into the marriage. That's out of a recent case, 290 Nebraska 32. So here's the question. We have identified a portion of the state of Nebraska retirement system as a premarital or non-marital asset. So when you take it out of the marital property, do you take it out effective on the date of the marriage, or do you take it out on December 31st, 2012? And our position simply is that the statutory rate of return during the course of this marriage is a non-marital asset, and therefore I would employ the court to adopt the proposition of law set forth in our brief, that is, passive appreciation of a premarital or a non-marital asset during the marriage remains a premarital and non-marital asset.
Are there any exceptions that you could conceive to such a rule? What if the interest rate isn't prescribed by statute? What if it's dependent upon the participants?
I think I could make a stronger argument. Let's say that he had a certificate of deposit worth $70,000. And the interest, when the interest accrued, it was never taken out. It was left there to accrue with the principal balance. The argument that I would make in that particular instance is that I understand that your argument is that the interest earned is a non-marital asset. On the other hand, each year that we were married, we got a 1099. And marital funds paid tax on the interest earned. And so therefore, that might be an exception to the rule.
So tax deferred accounts only?
Correct.
Well, let me ask this in a little bit different way. Was the interest commingled?
Good question.
There were no tax consequences while this fund appreciated, is that correct?
In this particular case, none. No tax consequences whatsoever.
It was just sitting there. Sitting there appreciating in accordance with the statute. That's your
pardon?
I say it was. The fund was sitting there appreciating in accordance with the statute.
Thank you.
Excuse me. The pension plan that you're talking about had $76,000 at the beginning of the marriage. And at the end of the marriage, that particular part of that asset was worth, what, $43,000?
Well, it would have appreciated approximately $50,000.
Yeah. Okay.
Does a participant have the right to withdraw from that plan while he's still employed?
I don't know the answer to that question, but I seriously doubt it.
Thank you.
Because it's a defined contribution plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Jensen, good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Greg Jensen. I represent the appellee, and I'm from Ort, Nebraska. As Mr. Schroeder pointed out, this appeal involves a very narrow issue, and that is whether or not the retirement plan of Dale Kofel, the interest earned on the retirement account, is a marital asset or is non-marital. The legislature has mandated that retirement accounts shall be considered a marital asset. And when you use the three-step process of, first of all, determining whether or not an asset is marital or non-marital.
If you take that argument, you're arguing that all of this pension plan was a marital asset.
No.
So there are exceptions. You're not contending that the $76,000 that was in the plan before the marriage is anything but a non-marital asset.
That is non-marital, yes.
What you're arguing is that the increase in that section, which was about $43,000, was a marital asset.
Yes, that's correct.
That's all this lawsuit's about.
That's the way I see it. That was earned during the marriage. This court has defined interest as earnings or interest earned in several cases that I cited in my brief. And I think that since the legislation...
What if you had land that was valued before the marital asset? Is that different because it's not a pension plan?
Yes, because the legislature specified, pension plans, retirement accounts. And if you look at 42.366, the legislature did not say, farm ground shall be considered marital assets. And it's very specific to the retirement accounts, pension plans.
Do you think the legislature contemplated premarital portions of retirement accounts versus marital portions? And if so, what statutory text would you cite me to that suggests that they did consider it?
Well, I don't think that they considered premarital portions of a retirement account as being marital to be divided. What the legislature did is mandate that any appreciation or accumulation of that retirement account during the marriage.
Well, but where in the statute you're relying on, it doesn't use the word appreciation. It just says the retirement account. You're inserting that concept of appreciation.
Right, and I think that was the legislative intent, although I haven't researched that. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that the legislature was not mandating that any cash in a retirement account at the time of marriage be considered marital property. I think it's only the appreciation in the value of that during the marriage.
Suppose you had a certificate of deposit that was your retirement account and it paid a fixed rate of 5% per annum, and the certificate of deposit value at the beginning of the marriage was $76,000. Do you contend that the interest paid on that CD during the marriage is a marital asset?
If it was part of a retirement account, yes. Because I remember Professor Harnsberger teaching about the separation of powers, and the power of the legislature is to legislate, the power of the courts is to interpret and apply. And I think that if this court were to determine that the accumulation or appreciation in the marital assets during the marriage is non-marital, you're in effect legislating. Legislating away 42.366.
There wasn't any dispute that his contributions that he made to the plan during the marriage and the interest accumulating on those contributions was included as a marital asset.
Right, yeah, and Judge Wright.
The question is whether or not the premarital value accumulation is a marital asset.
And I agree, and I don't think that Judge Wright abused his any discretion.
That's the other Wright.
Yes, right. Judge Wright in district court. I'm sorry. I don't think that Judge Wright in the district court of Buffalo County abused his discretion in making that determination.
Is this a question of law?
Yes, it is. I believe it is.
My recollection is that the statutory change on which you rely was intended to address rulings of various courts which had held that pension plans and retirement accounts were not subject to marital division. If that's correct, how does that speak, if at all, to the issue of appreciation of those accounts, of premarital? accounts?
Well, the courts have repeatedly held that any accumulation or acquisition of property by either party during the marriage becomes part of the marital estate, and that the appreciation or the interest earned on the premarital portion of his retirement account was earned by him during the marriage, and therefore should be considered a marital asset.
What did he have to do during the marriage to get this vested amount of money in his premarital cash benefit account? He could have retired the day of the marriage, and that account would still earn the interest on that amount, wouldn't it?
I'm sure he probably could have.
Yeah, so he didn't do anything during the marriage, and neither did she, to increase that asset value because it was already going to increase regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make an exception to your argument?
No. I think my argument still stands, that it was earned. It was interest earned during the marriage, and therefore remains a marital asset. Okay, with that, I ask that this court find that there was no abuse of discretion by the district judge and affirm the decision.
Thank you.
You bet, thank you.
Very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
We have 1:17.
1:17, Mr. Schroeder.
Well, obviously, I disagree with Mr. Jensen. I don't think that there's anything that Mr. Kofel's wife did during the course of this marriage to enhance that $70,000 figure. The truth of the matter is, if he'd have quit on their date of marriage and went to work for Baldwin Filters in Kearney, Nebraska, and started a brand new pension plan with Baldwin Filters, the entirety of that premarital Department of Roads, State of Nebraska retirement account, plus its interest, that would have been set aside in its entirety.
Mr. Schroeder, what if we were dealing with UP stock, and say the husband had $100,000 of UP stock at the time of the marriage? That's non-marital property.
Now, you're talking about UP stock held individually, or you're talking about UP stock in a pension plan?
Well, no, just individually. So what would your argument be there?
My argument would be that if it lost value, that's the way it is. If it gained value, it was market forces.
But here, your argument centers on its passive.
Comes down to?
Passive, that the wife did not do anything.
There isn't anything that Mr. Kofel did to enhance the value of that $70,000 other than a statute passed by the Nebraska legislature. Yeah. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. That takes us to the next case of the day, which is Murray versus Stein. Justice Stephan and Justice Miller-Lerman are both recused from this matter.